Wake up everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more backwards.
Wake up, tomorrow's election day. It's election eve. I'm excited, I'm scared. I'm nauseous, I'm optimistic, I'm nauseously optimistic. I've lost words for it, folks. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I could not think of three better people to be talking to than my set of guests for this next half hour, however long they can share with us their love of democracy and their confidence and faith in the U.S. electoral system, especially here in the state of Wisconsin, but across all the swing states, to bring everyone back and up to speed. I am joined by Rebecca Mears, Director of Democracy Policy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. She used to work with attorney Mark Elias at Elias Law Group and Perkins Coie, where she specialized in campaign finance, voting rights, and election law. Thank goodness. She went to Stanford, too, if that resume doesn't quite do it for you. I'm also joined by much-beloved Wisconsin Republicans, not just one of them, but two of them. Much-beloved former Republican attorney, State Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen, as well as former Republican Congressman for the state of Wisconsin, Scott Klug. J.B., welcome. Thank you so much for making time. It's a thrill to have you back with us.
Oh, thanks for having us on. Obviously, very important topic, very timely topic, and I'm glad you're giving us some airtime.
Oh, my goodness. And Representative Klug, again, welcome back. Last time I spoke with you and your colleague, JB, we were at the RNC. It's a few months since. Welcome back. How are you feeling about tomorrow, sir?
Sir? I feel better if I could see you guys since I can't get my audio to work. So I think it's part of a deliberate campaign to mute my voice in democracy. So that's my spin on it. So I think tomorrow's going to be for a long night. Here's the problem, and it's one thing we should touch on with your listeners, is
please,
that Wisconsin and Pennsylvania are, I'll shut up.
Go ahead, Scott. Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, yes, sir.
Yeah, are two of the states that don't allow to count early voting and mail-in voting before the polls close, which means we're going to have another late night in Milwaukee and another late night in Philadelphia. And it would make a lot more sense if we change this law so we can prevent some of the chaos that will be inevitable tomorrow night.
Well, it didn't. This is how it's been for years and years. JB, I'll ask you to address this. Democrats in the state of Wisconsin tried to change this law in the last term to make it possible to start counting early votes and absentee mail-in ballots before 7 a.m. on voting day, but it got stalled. Can you explain to people why that's important, why it would be a good thing if we could start to actually open mail-in ballots and drop box ballots and absentee ballots before 7 a.m. on voting day?
Well, I think it just goes back to trust in the electoral system. We've done some polling, and I think you just listen to the general public and the media, and a lot of people just have distrust in the system and how it works. And most of that distrust is based upon a lack of understanding of how the system works. Mm. So an awful lot of accusations have been out there about late voting and, you know, stuff in the ballot boxes and things like that, because a lot of ballots get counted late in the day, when in reality they get counted late in the day because our law requires that, basically. So I think the most important part is to make sure that people appreciate, trust, and understand the electoral system here in Wisconsin.
Rebecca, I'll turn to you now. You have spent the great bulk of your career as a lawyer enmeshed and engaged in understanding these processes and explaining them. What are the few, like, if you could think of maybe two or three misconceptions or misunderstandings that people have that you think are really detrimental, what are the top ones that pop to your mind?
Yeah, absolutely. I want to echo what the other guests have said. I was going to bring up the lack of pre-processing ballots as an issue in Wisconsin as well. You know, a lot of people think that we will get results and final results on election day. We don't. We get some results, but not the final results. So make sure that you are patient and really allow election workers to do their job and ensure that every legal ballot is cast. But on the thought of something that a lot of people don't understand, I want to bring up election certification. Mm. So I just wrote a piece, a CAP article on election certification, what you need to know. Now, it's a lesser known part of the process. We've started to hear a lot of it because of frivolous lawsuits and attempts to really overturn the will of the people through this process. I want to be clear. Election certification, put simply, is the point in the process when officials prepare a statement to report the final vote totals for each candidate. By the time that step is reached, vote totals have already been through a rigorous system of checks by election workers to ensure that only lawfully cast ballots have been counted. It's essentially like a certificate acknowledging that someone completed a training course. The hard work and verification have already been completed by this point. This is just confirmation in writing. So you may see some ads claiming that election officials should deny certification or delay it. I want to be clear, election officials are just like you and me and everyone else. They have to obey by the law, and that includes certifying results.
Scott, I'll turn to you. Both you and former State Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen, my guest today. Again, I'm talking with former Republican Congressman for Wisconsin, Scott Klug, Rebecca Mears, head of the Democracy Head of Democracy Policy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund, and former State Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen. Scott, I wanted to ask you this question. Rebecca makes an excellent point. It seems that there have been movements in different states to encourage election officials not to certify results. This seems to be a Pandora's box of potential problems. Scott, based on your understanding of election processes, whether you want to keep your comments focused on Wisconsin or speak more broadly, what is your gut reaction? You have served a long time in the state. You understand election processes. You're part of the Democracy Defense Project. When you hear people encouraging election officials to maybe, you know, don't certify it on time. Maybe wait a little bit. I don't know. Decide whenever it is that they think it's okay to certify election results. What's your reaction to these kinds of suggestions, Scott?
Well, I think you can't make a ruling in a vacuum, right? I mean, if there's the potential of an issue, and there's been a couple of issues in states that have been raised, and I think in Pennsylvania, there was actually an incident of a non-citizen voting, which sort of now has thrown stuff a little bit of a monkey wrench in to say, well, how often did this happen and what's the background on this specific case? Because if you do that and you're a non-citizen, it's actually a felony.
Yes.
And in this case, the person's been charged with two felonies.
Yes.
I think if you're essentially setting up a review process, if you've got questions, you know, you don't have to rush to certify the election. On the other hand, trying to create a separate slate in advance seems to be a little aggressive when there's no evidence of substantial fraud. And I'm going to go back to the same thing I talk about all the time with my Republican friends and colleagues who will complain about the 2020 election. So there's 8 congressional seats in the state of Wisconsin. Republicans hold 2, Republicans hold 6, the Democrats hold 2. On the last election in 2020, if you would have added up the votes that all the successful Republican candidates for the House got, that's 6 of them, and if you total up the votes for the 2 Republicans who lost in their elections and add those up, the fact is Donald Trump would have won Wisconsin by 40,000 votes. So there's no evidence of election fraud. If there was, they would have made it 8-for-8 for the Democrats, right? And it's just a drop off with Republican voters. And that could be an issue tomorrow for Trump in some of his states. It could be an issue for Harris tomorrow with a drop off from Democrats in some states. But there was nothing that went wrong whatsoever in Wisconsin in 2020. And so if you're basing a lot of prep work for 2024, you better be able to point to some actual fraud and abuses that happened 4 years ago.
Well, and fraud that wasn't caught by the normal election double checks and triple checks. You know, the example in Pennsylvania, I think, is emblematic of the fact that the system does work. And we catch people who are trying to vote who are non-citizens. That process works. JB, I wanted to turn to you because to me, the idea, especially in states where the certification, and I'm not talking about the selection of the electors for the purposes of casting the Electoral College votes, but the job of the local election official to say, yes, as Rebecca was explaining, this is the vote total. And to do so on time is a key step. And in many jurisdictions and in the state of Wisconsin, as I understand it, that is a ministerial duty. They shall do that. They don't have an option to not do that. What's your understanding, JB? How important is it that we don't have sort of subjective judgments being inserted into the process when it is simply a matter of state law requiring an election official to say these were the vote totals?
Well, obviously they do have to do it. It is ministerial. It is required under the law. However, it's not necessarily required. Let me back up. It's not necessarily always subjective. Mm. There can be objective reasons why they would delay certification. And so there shouldn't be, obviously, a subjective test, but we can't say that it's purely ministerial if they have some sort of an objective problem. And obviously, they would come under scrutiny and difficulty if they did certify when they first saw a problem or didn't have an opportunity to get it corrected yet. So there's a reason why that step exists. Obviously it's not going to be something that gets exercised real regularly, but there's certainly a cause and occasion.
But absent something that is quite clear, that objective, and usually you have numerous election officials that are looking at the totals and looking at any objections that were made, absent some sort of clear objective reason to question a total or a failure for these multiple checks to total to the same exact number, that is a step in the process that under nearly virtually every single normal election process should simply happen in the ordinary course. And I'm thinking mostly, JB, specifically about some of the election laws that were changed in states like Georgia to inject subjectivity. Rebecca, on this very question, I've asked the question of the gentleman. I'd like to give you a chance to respond as well. In most jurisdictions, it's what are the total numbers? And then pass that number along with the official seal that those are the numbers, right? Like, that's simply what's supposed to happen, right?
Absolutely. It is a routine administrative task. There are other avenues in the election process to handle legitimate concerns. For instance, post-election audits, recounts can be done, people can file lawsuits. We're seeing a lot of frivolous lawsuits now that don't have merit, but there is a process in place to handle legitimate concerns that are backed by evidence. Election certification is not that avenue. In almost every state, it is a mandatory duty that is just counting, passing on the final count of the tabulated numbers and reporting them as official with a rubber stamp, like you noted.
Scott, you and JB are part of what is called the Democracy Defense Project. First of all, if you're listening, folks, you can find out more about that at democracydefenseproject.org. Also, Cardi and I will make sure that these recent analytical pieces that Rebecca has put together, we'll make sure that those are available to you in our show notes. Scott, I wanted to give you the opportunity. Tell folks about what the Democracy Defense Project is and why you and some of your Republican colleagues alongside Democrats have gotten involved.
Well, we're trying to send the message, I think, to Wisconsin voters and voters in other battleground states that there's bipartisan support for the election system as it is. We can always improve things. And if you want, I can say about a cool idea that Nebraska is doing at the present time. But so similarly, Republican and Democratic leaders, for example, in Georgia, a good friend of mine, very conservative Republican Senator Saxe Chambliss, it plays the same sort of role that JB plays in our coalition here. And we wanted to make sure that we had folks from all sides of the political spectrum, from conservative to liberal, to reassure voters that when you vote tomorrow, or if you have voted already, that your vote's going to count in Wisconsin. And the democracy only survives because it's a coalition of the willing.
Yes.
And if you have people who begin to doubt the fundamental underpinnings of American democracy, we're in real trouble as a nation. And all of us here have been involved in politics in one level or another, and sometimes you win and sometimes you lose, and that's part of the system. And you've got to admit when you lost. I met Mandela Barnes, who's part of our coalition, had a painful loss to Ron Johnson very narrowly last campaign, and Mandela, to his credit, stepped back and said, "I lost. Johnson won. Good luck to you in the future." And that's the fundamental way we keep this country stapled together.
Folks, that is former Congressional Representative Republican Scott Klug. He joins me this half hour alongside his fellow Republican, former State Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen, and Rebecca Mears, the Director of Democracy Policy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Keep it locked. They're all sharing with you that from across the political spectrum, our leadership, those that know the most, have worked within elections, know that your vote is safe and sound. It will count. Go to myvote.wi.gov.